From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. There is a saying in Hollywood that in the right hands, there's no such thing as a small role. The actor Taraji Henson has made a career of making a big splash in small roles. She's played a range of memorable characters, a prostitute with dreams of stardom, a gun-wielding lesbian, a foxy mama from the 70s. And in the film The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Henson makes big waves again, portraying a woman named Queenie. The role earned her an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress. I talked with Henson recently, and we began by talking about a key scene in the film, the moment when a white infant, who curiously looks like someone in old age, is left at the doorstep of the New Orleans nursing home where Queenie works.
I knew that in order for the audience to fall in love with Benjamin Button, Queenie had to. So I had to really spend time with that little ugly animatronic baby, and I had to stare at it until it was cute. Because I knew that if she didn't fall in love immediately, then we would lose the audience.
So you had to, and you didn't see the baby for a long time in the film. It was just you. It was
me.
All conveyed through your emotions.
Exactly.
Oh, the law done something here.
I hope I didn't hoity not stepping on it like that. We best leave that for the police.
Oh, baby.
I'll go.
This was sure nobody wanted to keep it. Come on, baby.
She knew from the moment she laid eyes on that baby that that baby was put on their doorstep for a reason, because she believes every human deserves unconditional love, and that baby represented life for her, something new. That's why she didn't think twice about it.
And
she
energy.
Was able to look beyond race in the early 1900s. She was able to look beyond his odd exterior. She just knew he deserved life, and she wanted to give it to him.
You are as ugly as an old pot. You still a child of God.
David Fincher is the director of this film. He's a very exacting director.
Yeah.
And I imagine that he had strong ideas about who Queenie should be.
Yes.
But what did you bring to this? Is there a particular aspect of this character or even a scene that you improvised that was not originally in the script that's really all about you and something that you brought to this film?
Eric Roth is such an incredible writer. Everything pretty much was on the page. But I do remember one moment where Benjamin Button first comes back after he had left to go off and be a man. He fights the warden and he comes back.
Queenie?
Yes. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, you're home. Oh, Lord, you came back.
Sweet Jesus, that's what I brought. I would always go, sweet Jesus. That wasn't written in there.
And that hand clap.
The
fist coming
That just
up.
Came. That just came.
Oh, you look like you've been born again. Younger than the springtime. I think that preacher laid hands on you, gave you a second life. I knew at that moment I saw you. You were special.
When I can trust my director, I can jump in with my eyes closed, feet first, and I know he'll be there to catch me. I can be as uninhibited as I can, which allows the characters to really breathe and live.
I tell you what, my knees are sore because I've been on them every night asking the Lord. I said, God, just bring them home safely.
That was an ad lib, and it just came out of a place of comfort that David Fincher creates on the set. And he just sits back and lets you go.
Remember what I told you?
You never know what's coming for you.
That's right. Sit down.
You never know what's coming for you.
You never know. You never know.
How did you find the right voice, the right body language, the right tone for Queenie?
I talk to my characters. I read the scripts over and I let them talk to me. I don't force anything on any of my characters. And I think acting can be quite spiritual because you're allowing your body to be used as a vessel for these characters. It's almost like a possession almost, you know, to come in and take over and use your body. So I don't force it. I just read the script over and over and over. And after a while, the character will tell you what they want to say or how they want to say it or how they want to walk. A lot of this stuff comes in the research. You know, Queenie lived from the early 1900s to 1960-something. Had to do research on everything that happened in the time she was living because, as you know, whatever happens in society affects us and molds us and shapes us. So, you know, it was a lot of research. I had to do research on what happens to an aging body. I remember my grandmother had a get-together. She has 8 children, 5 of them women, one being my mother. I sat back and watched them all. They didn't even know at the time they were character studies. But I paid particular attention to my grandmother because she had just had knee replacement surgery. My grandmother at the time was like 81. And then it started making me think about what part of Queenie's body would give her the most grief, you know, and I just started, you know, researching arthritis and things like that.
And she worked hard. She was always lifting people.
She was always lifting people, yes, cleaning people that couldn't clean themselves, dressing them. And, you know, she ran that house. She was a mother to all of the residents. And, you know, as far as her walk, I always just thought, because she was such a nurturer, just an earthy walk. Wardrobe helps too. They put that fat suit on me and my body just automatically responded to the fat suit. So all of that kind of helped with the posture and how I walked and carried myself.
Now, you had another film in addition to Benjamin Button, another film that was released around the holiday season,
mm-hmm.
Not Easily Broken.
Yes.
A film that was an adaptation of a T.D. Jakes story.
Mm-hmm.
And that film is marketed largely at a black audience.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, the studios having sort of a parallel track for certain films?
I just wish one day I hope we can get past the black-white thing, because it's a human experience. I don't go to the movie saying, oh, I'm going to go see this white movie. I go because I want to know the story. I'm inspired. I'm intrigued. That story interests me in some way. But I don't sit back and say, oh, this is an Asian movie. Let me go and see it. Or this is a white movie. I can't identify with that. Let me stick to the black films. And I really hope that Hollywood can sort of take a turn and stop labeling our films as black films and just... they're films.
Everybody can identify. Was it your hope that a broader audience might find that film?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But if you don't open it in theaters where other audience members can go and see it, then I guess you are just targeting just the black audience. Every human understands pain, love, tragedy. Every human understands emotion. It's not black or white. You can identify with love and loss, no matter what color you are.
So do you think that might change?
I'm hoping,
in your lifetime,
you know.
Are you trying to agitate?
Yes, and that's what I'm saying in all of my interviews. Stop calling it a black film. The whole press tour, I was like, it's not a black film, it's a human film.
I heard you. Now, you, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
On your Oscar nomination.
Thank you.
Are you superstitious?
No.
Okay, I was wondering if you had any kind of rituals that you were going to...
It's all in God's
...to bring
hands.
Good karma mm-hmm. your way. Yeah.
Nah, it's all in God's hands. I've won already. Just the nomination alone is a win. I'm in a new league of actors, so it's every actor's dream, and not every actor can say they've been nominated for an Oscar.
Well, I know you're looking forward to the big day on the 22nd, and all the best to you then.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in to
talk
to us.
Thanks for having me.
To hear more from the interview with Taraji Henson and see scenes from the film, go to npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.